Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
<clears throat> 11 o'clock. Welcome in. It is the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler Head, Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark again broadcasting live at Firehouse Subs on Main Street. Going for another hour until noon, of course, getting you set as we have all morning long for game number one for South Carolina men's basketball out at the SEC tournament in Nashville. We found out last night their opponent this afternoon will be the Arkansas Razorbacks. We now head out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Welcome in from Whole Hog Sports, Anthony Christensen, to give us a little bit of insight into this Arkansas program. Anthony, first of all, thanks so much for taking some of your time this morning. It looked kind of bleak at halftime last night. Vanderbilt had that 14-point lead, but a tremendous second half in overtime for these Razorbacks ended up getting them the victory. What did you see out of this team last night that helped propel them to the win?
Yeah, no, first, thanks for having me on. Of course, always happy to talk some hoops. But when you're talking about the game last night, I mean, Arkansas was not very good in that first half. I don't think that's any surprise when you say that. But when you look at the second half, they did some different things defensively. They went more of a high pressure system and all that. And then obviously they got Caleb Battle the ball more. He hadn't had a field goal in the first half, and he finishes with 24 points after overtime, of course. And then Tremont Mark really got it going as well. All 18 of his points were in the second half. So when you look at, those are the two guys you really need to get going if you're Arkansas. Caleb Battle and Tremont Mark, those have been the guys, especially recently with Caleb Battle, who have been, their go-to guys to get the points. And then when you look at the defensive scheme as well, what was different in the second half? They caused a five-second violation, on the first, inbound to the half with Vanderbilt. So when you go to that high-pressure system against a team like Vanderbilt, that really caused them some issues, especially early in the half. And that was kind of the big thing that turned it around. And Arkansas had some trouble in the second half breaking through the press. Obviously, they turned it over on the inbounds, and that's what kind of got the game into overtime. But, when you look at that second half, I think the biggest things are, getting the ball in Caleb Battle's hands and Tremont Mark's hands.
Anthony, Chris Clark here. Thanks for joining us here today on the program. You mentioned that the change, and everybody noticed that, that Arkansas kind of went to that high-pressure system, extended the defense out. Simple question, maybe honestly a dumb question. Why not do that earlier? And then is this something that they've thrived in when they've done it all season? For context, here at South Carolina, they've sometimes employed a 1-3-1 zone defense that they've thrown at opponents in the middle of a game that's really kind of confused them and helped them. Seems like, is it maybe a similar situation for Arkansas with that high-press defense?
Yeah, so actually Arkansas has kind of struggled when they've tried to do that throughout the season. Eric Musselman kind of talked about it. After the game, they haven't really, played a defensive system like that throughout the season because they haven't really done it very well. But when you go into, halftime down by 14 points or whatever it was, and you're kind of desperate to get back into it, you kind of, throw conventional wisdom out the window, right? So, they made that change, and they played, really well, especially at the beginning of the half. They went on, a big run to tie it up, and their defense was a big part of that. Trevin Brazil had a big defensive game, 4 blocks, 2 steals. Even Makai Mitchell in the paint, obviously, he had 3 blocks and 2 steals as well. And their defensive pressure in general, just that was some of the better defense that they've played, in that stretch that I've seen that covered the team this season. Obviously, kind of fell apart a little bit there at the end, allowed Vanderbilt to get back into it and force overtime. But when you look at, the beginning of the second half, that was something that we really haven't seen that much.
Do we still got you?
Yep. Yep. Can you hear me?
No, he's still there. Go ahead.
We still got him. I listened to Musselman talk on the SEC Network broadcast right after the game, and he went ahead and gave a little preview sort of on what we might see today, and he was talking about how, hey, the South Carolina team, they probably feel like they're a better squad than they were when these two teams played earlier. But he also said, I feel like my guys have come a long way since South Carolina won at Arkansas earlier this year. So when you kind of look back at how this team has improved or just changed, what would you say is the biggest difference for this Arkansas group now compared to what maybe South Carolina fans saw in terms of South Carolina's opponent when these two teams played earlier this year?
Well, I think the easy answer to that question is, you know, the improved performances of Caleb Battle and Mekhi Mitchell. I mean, both those guys played fewer than 5 minutes in the first game that these two teams played against each other, and now Mekhi Mitchell is still coming off the bench, but he's the sixth man, and he's putting in a lot of really good performances lately, and Caleb Battle has really taken on the role of primary scorer, and neither of those guys played more than 5 minutes the first time. And what you see with those guys, especially when they're on the court together, I mean, it's a lethal pick-and-roll game when you have, you know, Mekhi Mitchell, you know, in that rolling spot and Caleb Battle with the ball in his hands. So, I mean, that's been the biggest difference, I think, when you look at, you know, that game versus now, is just how much that's changed. Obviously, Caleb Battle's kind of replaced Devo Davis in that starting five, and Mekhi Mitchell's kind of taken on that six-man role. So that's really, at least offensively, the biggest thing that I've noticed. And I think everybody who follows Arkansas has noticed. I mean, if you look at Caleb Battle and, you know, how much he's been scoring. There was a four-game stretch where he scored 141 points. That was the most points of, you know, any SEC player for the last 20 seasons. So when you got a guy who's playing to that level, obviously something has gone right. Changed some stuff up. And, yeah, that's the biggest difference between these two teams, and something that, you know, I'm sure obviously how critical a coach Lamont Harris has been. If I had a vote, he would have been my national coach of the year. Obviously got that well-deserved extension this morning. That's something I'm sure he's been watching and prepping for. That's the biggest thing that I've noticed is the improved play of Caleb Battle and Mekhi Mitchell.
Again, talking to Anthony Christensen from Whole Hog Sports, previewing today's matchup between South Carolina and Arkansas. Speaking of coaches, looking at Eric Musselman, this season was obviously not great in conference play, 6-12, but going in as a low seed, having to play yesterday. Something about him in tournaments, though. Obviously, the Sweet 16 a year ago, despite being under .500, the two Elite Eights before that. What is it about these tournament settings and environments that really brings out the best in Coach Musselman?
I think it's, you know, when you look at him, it's his kind of adjustments, especially, you know, at halftime, like we mentioned, you know, switching to that higher pressure, you know, defensive system, or, you know, getting the ball in Caleb Battle's hands more, finding a way to do that, because obviously Caleb Battle's going to be the first name on any scouting report right now. I think it's really just his adjustments, you know, in those kinds of times that has really made him, you know, one of the better tournament coaches in the country. Obviously, you know, this season hasn't gone to plan for them. It's obviously the below .500 record and everything along those lines. But like you said, he's built up this tournament reputation, and he's always been, you know, a tournament guy. Even going back to his time at Nevada, obviously beat Cincinnati, which they talked about a lot last night, and made a couple of really good runs, you know, there in Nevada. But I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, you know, since covering this team is how he's able to adjust, you know, when the game plan doesn't work. That's been, I think, the biggest key to, you know, Arkansas's success in tournaments in recent years.
Hey, Anthony, watching the game at home last night, man, I was a little bit struck by just how good the crowd and the atmosphere was. What do you think it says about the growth of basketball in the SEC that a day one game between two of the lower seeds was sort of just so highly attended and just had a – it actually almost had like an NCAA tournament feel to it watching at home. I think that says a lot just about the interest in SEC basketball now and the depth of the talent within the programs in this league now.
Yeah, that and the Missouri-Georgia game, too, is pretty I mean, I think it just really speaks to the growth of the SEC as a basketball conference, particularly in men's basketball. I mean, you look at, this Arkansas team was ranked preseason top 15 in both the AP and coaches' polls. And obviously Vanderbilt gets a little bit of a boost because it's there in Nashville. I think less than 3 miles from Vanderbilt's campus. But when you look at, just the level of play in the SEC, it's one of the best conferences in the country this season, at the best by some metrics. And I think that kind of goes from bottom to top and vice versa. When you look at the quality of, players on each of these teams, even Missouri has a guy who, is probably an all-conference level player in Sean East. So you've got, quality players, quality coaches, from the top to the bottom. And, especially in recent years, that's something that, has really kind of grown and taken off in the SEC. Going back from my time covering the SEC as a student to now, you can just kind of see, the emphasis the league has put on men's basketball, firstly, and just how much success they've seen in that. It makes for a fun environment for everybody involved, I think.
Anthony, last one for you here. You got about 2 more minutes to go. When you look at the South Carolina team top to bottom, what is the number one thing that sticks out to you and how Arkansas is going to be able to match up with them today?
I think it starts for Arkansas on the defensive end. Obviously, you've got, a guy like Colin Murray-Boyles who's going to be a threat inside. So you're going to need Trevin Brazil and Makai Mitchell to really be able to, disrupt some shots from him and be able to, get some blocks and steals. B.J. Mack is obviously a really good player, as is Michi Johnson. So, you've got guys who are threats. I didn't even mention Miles Stute or Talon Cooper. This is a team that has a lot of threats, a lot of guys who can hurt you in a lot of different ways. So I think it really starts defensively for Arkansas, especially when you're talking about, the paint. South Carolina outscored Arkansas in the paint last time out. And that's something I think that a lot of emphasis has been put into, and something that, Makai Mitchell has really helped with on the defensive end since he's kind of earned that six-man role. And with Trevin Brazil kind of coming back and getting back to full health, I think that's something that he's really helped out with as well. And then offensively, I think you really need to, attack the basket with Caleb Battle. that's probably the easiest answer I can give, probably not the most in-depth analytical piece of information, but when Arkansas has had success, it's been Caleb Battle has been getting to the rim and really getting to the free throw line. He had 13 free throws last night. That was a program record for the SEC tournament. And that's just kind of where they've found success, is when Caleb Battle has the ball in his hands and he's attacking the paint and getting to the rim.
All right, Anthony, well, we appreciate your insight. Should be a good contest between both these teams, and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys for having me on. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Again, Anthony Christensen from Whole Hog Sports giving us some insight into the Arkansas program as they get set to take on Carolina today, coming up at 3:30. Premium coverage will start around 3 o'clock right here on the game following the halftime show. We'll come back, continue on broadcasting live out of Firehouse Subs here on Main Street in Columbia. Tyler Head, West Mitchell, Chris Clark going until noon here on the game. Welcome back in. Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler Head, West Mitchell, Chris Clark out at Firehouse Subs on Main Street. Students walking in. Delicious sandwiches all over the place. Always a fantastic time. Appreciate our guy, Larry Chainler, as always, for allowing us to be out here when we get to do these live shows. Obviously, today's a special day because we are getting set for South Carolina men's basketball playing at the SEC tournament. Appreciate Anthony Christensen giving us his insight from the Arkansas perspective on that matchup for today after they played a thrilling overtime game last night against Vanderbilt. I do wonder, given the fact that it was a later game tipped off at 7, didn't end until a little after 9 o'clock, you have a pretty quick turnaround. You play those extra 5 minutes, which may not seem, but if you've ever played sports, any kind of overtime period wears on you more, obviously, because it's extra time out there on the court, extra minutes for those guys. I wonder how much of an advantage that can be for Lamont Paris's crew today.
I was thinking about that watching the game last night. And, you know, I think you could even make the argument, especially if you wanted to talk yourself into it. Nah, we're fresh, you know.
Right.
We just played. Not fresh as in, like, fresh legs, but, yeah. You're loosened up. You just played a game. You're ready to go. Whereas, you know, the team that you're facing in South Carolina, they've had a little bit of a layoff, right? They'll obviously go through shoot-around. They'll go through pregame.
Sure.
They practiced, right? But I tend to agree in that, especially with the way South Carolina plays, most games they're able to take the game to the opponent, right?
Right.
And you could see Arkansas. I'll be interested to see if they come out. Do they try to play that same style that they went to last night against Vanderbilt and had a lot of success with? We just heard in the last segment, Tyler, that Eric Musselman has not deployed that style of defense as much because they haven't had a lot of success with it.
Right.
So how does Eric Musselman feel about it? Does he feel like they have the legs for it after an overtime game last night where they expended a lot of energy, I'm sure, especially in that second half and then into overtime? And does he feel like it will work against South Carolina's style that's very much a slow-it-down style anyway, right?
Right.
If South Carolina can advance the ball, you know, to their side of the court until, you know, 8 seconds have elapsed, that's fine. They like to have it that way. And so you know, I think that's the key for South Carolina is just, you know, continuing to play their game, taking their game to Arkansas. And then, like you said, will Arkansas look a little bit worn down from that game where they expended a lot of energy and, you know, pretty emotional game as well last night?
Well, you're also running into a team, and again, I mentioned it when we were talking to Anthony, that Eric Musselman's a very good tournament coach. And for Arkansas, if they want to make the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to win the SEC tournament first. So, you know, that's a team that, you know, for more postseason aspirations is having to look ahead through the course of the rest of the weekend in addition to having played that tough game last night. So hopefully you're catching them, you know, being kind of caught up in the moment and can take advantage of that later on this afternoon. But again, we've seen South Carolina step up to the task against pretty much every team that has played so far this season. He went on the road and beat them in Fayetteville, which is certainly not an easy thing to do. And again, as we've seen, this South Carolina team has gotten better as the year has gone along. And, you know, I'm not going to go out there and completely confirm a win like I feel like Elijah was doing a little bit earlier, but I feel pretty good about South Carolina's chances.
Yeah, I mean, this Arkansas team, the drop-off has really been pretty dramatic. Like, not that I knew everything about Arkansas's personnel.
Sure.
But, man, like, just based on what they have been to what they are now, I mean, it's almost as much as South Carolina's turnaround in the opposite direction has been pretty extreme, Arkansas's has been that in the other direction, right? And Eric Musselman, I mean, you mentioned his coaching chops. This is a guy that's been a college head coach at Nevada and at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made the NCAA tournament every year but two so far. His first year at Nevada, they made the CBI. Now they won it,
yeah,
right? Every year after that at Nevada, they made the NCAA tournament, including a Sweet 16. The only time up until this season, unless they win the SEC tournament, that they did not make the postseason was in 2019 and 20, where nobody made it because it was canceled.
That's
right. And then he's gone Elite Eight, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and then this year they drop off to 6-12. That team, Tyler, that he took to the Sweet 16 last year was 8-10 in conference last year. So really good tournament coach, as you said.
Yeah, and I remember when South Carolina played him early on in the season, I think they had lost their first three of their first four conference games at that point, but we kind of wrote it off and said, oh, Arkansas does this kind of thing every year. They get kind of slow started out of the gate, and then they go on a tear through conference play, and that just never really happened this year. But again, when you're talking about a team and a coach that's so good in these tournament settings, you never know what they're certainly capable of, especially when they have their backs up against the wall. And like, you know, last night's game against Vanderbilt, where they go to this defensive pressure that they really weren't doing a whole lot this season or didn't really think they were all that good at, and ends up working out for them against the Commodores. So certainly that could be something that we could see employed against South Carolina as well today.
Yeah, and that will be a question. You know, what does South Carolina do? Arkansas has got some athletic guys, right? I mean,
yeah.
Most people in this conference do, but they like to get out and run sometimes. So how does Lamont Paris, what's the scout on this team? Obviously, they've both seen each other earlier in the season, but two different teams. I mean, as we heard earlier, Eric Musselman feels like his guys have come, despite the record not being there, it's a different team. He feels like a different team and probably a better team. But I think you could probably say the same for South Carolina, right? This is a team that's continued to just continue to kind of chop wood, continue to gel, continue to get better. And so, you know, if South Carolina can get through this game and win, let's see what they can do the rest of the tournament. But this is obviously step one in that process.
Absolutely. And, again, that coming up today around 3:30 tip time, depending on what time game number one ends out there in Nashville. Pregame coverage will start right here on the game at 3:30, immediately following the halftime show. Baseball going to be in action this weekend, taking on Ole Miss. Jake Thompson from Ole Miss on Ole Miss's On Three site will be joining Wes and Chris coming up next to break down the series coming up this weekend. I got to go head back over to the studio because I'm hosting 12-3 flying solo today. So you guys enjoy the rest of the time out here at Firehouse Subs again on Main Street. Wes and Chris will be out here until noon.
All right, welcome back in. We're live, Firehouse Subs on the USC campus. Coming at you for another 30 minutes. Wes Mitchell here, Chris Clark going back out. Special guest right now, we got Jake Thompson from omspirit.com on the Ole Miss Network to talk a little bit about this SEC opener between South Carolina and Ole Miss this weekend. Jake, man, we appreciate you taking the time. How's everything going your way?
Everything's going great. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, man, so we were trying to do a little bit of background work on this Ole Miss team. Frankly, I haven't really sat down and watched any of them, but I noticed a little bit of a slow start, but then you start looking at lots of wins the last few weeks for this team. What was it about this group that maybe had a little bit of a slow start for them, and what have they been doing differently? What has maybe been the driver behind their recent success going to SEC play?
Well, you know, I don't know. They wouldn't use it as an excuse, and I don't know if I would either, but they opted to kind of do something creative this year, and they started their season off the continental U.S. and played four games in 3 days against Hawaii, which that's not something that Mike Bianco's ever really done to kind of start a season. And, you know, they split them there and came back and then had to play a game about a day and a half after getting back and, you know, the time change and all that. I think they just kind of had a slow start getting their body clocks back, and then also it's almost a – half of a brand new roster. I mean, the transfer portal has started seeping down into baseball now, as we've seen basketball, football kind of figure it out. And for Bianco and his staff, it is still new to them, and they had to replace a lot of production lost last season with Kemp Alderman and Jacob Gonzalez and everybody else. And so he added a bunch of big names offensively, and I think it just took them a little bit to mesh. And, you know, nobody really knows how this is going to work. Obviously, LSU figured it out well last year, but for Ole Miss, I think it's still going to be some growing pains. And so that led to some losses, some surprising losses, and the offense was slow getting going. And what's still the biggest question, even heading into this weekend, is how is pitching going to be? I mean, that was the question mark last year after they lost Hunter Elliott. Then they lose him for this year, and then they lost their other season starter in Xavier Rivas literally the week before the season to the same kind of injury, UCL. And so they've had to lean on their young guys 2 years in a row now. And you know, we're starting to see some signs of them growing in the past couple weeks. They've finally gotten some starts that look a little bit more like a starting pitcher in the SEC would. But this weekend, I think, is going to be the real truth teller of how they're going to go these next 10 weeks, especially in conference play.
Jake, Chris Clark here. Thanks for joining us. I want to zoom out a little bit with more of like a big picture question about the Ole Miss baseball program and Mike Bianco. You know, thinking back to 2022, it seemed like he was firmly on the hot seat. You know, Ole Miss goes 14-16 in conference, 42-23 overall. They finished fifth in the West. But then they have the big run. They end up winning the College World Series, and so Bianco goes from, you know, on the hot seat to a hero. And then last season, obviously following that up with a disappointment, right, of a losing season overall and in conference. So what's just kind of the big picture state of the program, and how do folks feel there about the program just really just a year removed from a title?
Yeah, you know, it's you take out the start of this, you know, this first month of this season, but these past two seasons, it really weren't great results, obviously, as we were just saying. And, you know, you had that 1 month anomaly, it feels like, for where Ole Miss got it figured out, and then they went 10-1 in June and won you know, their first national title, which should be celebrated, and is for the most part, but there's still some people who are hard to kind of see, you know, separate that from the fact that regular season-wise, the past 2 years, they've been one of the worst in the conference. And so it's like a weird kind of contrast and juxtaposition to go, yes, we got there just 2 years ago, but how we got there was kind of unconventional and storybook and fairy tale. It wasn't indicative of how they played all through the season. And then you have almost a similar, if not worse, season last year. So, for, you know, for Bianco, that Arkansas series 2 years ago in 2022, it kind of felt like there may be an understanding. It's just time for both parties to kind of move on and for the baseball program to kind of find that new guy. And then they do it in June, and now it feels like Bianco's here until he doesn't want to be. And, you know, I don't think they can have another season in 2024 that they had in 23, where then that may be more of on Keith Carter at that point if the results don't improve. But, you know, there's some positives to how they've started or closed on conference play with some of the bats coming around, and it looks like maybe it could be a little bit more competitive. But, you know, again, you don't know until you get to what some of the best teams in the country here in the SEC.
Yeah, and Jake, again, we're talking to Jake Thompson, OM Spirit, Ole Miss site on the OWN3 Network. I think kind of what you just said, man, we're sitting here in the same spot with South Carolina in terms of trying to figure out what this team is. I think both of these teams so far this year, you look at the stats, there are some very, very similar statistics as far as what these two teams have done during non-conference play. And we're sitting here kind of saying, all right, what's going to happen once conference play begins? What are your expectations for this Ole Miss team? What are the expectations of the fans? Like, is that sort of down? Are the expectations down because of what everything you just talked about, or is there still some excitement? I feel like Ole Miss is one of those fan bases that they do love baseball regardless. So I would imagine there's still a pretty good atmosphere this weekend for SEC play. But just, I guess, in general, what I'm getting to is what's kind of the vibe going into SEC play around this team right now?
Yeah, you know, just from a fan standpoint, I think it's their tempered expectations, just, you know, for to protect themselves or their feelings. I guess, you know, they don't want to come out and say 20-10 or, you know, something, a winning record, you know. But I feel like there's right now, like, just from what people have watched and how they've seen them through these first 18 games, like a 10-14 win run, which that you know, that's a losing record and not great. But, you know, I think they've got to show that they can win again in the SEC for the fans to kind of get that excitement. And, you know, spring break's wrapping up, you know, this weekend, so students should be trickling back in over the course of the weekend. Weather isn't really great tomorrow for the moment, so they could see a lot of baseball played over Saturday, Sunday once it clears out. So you may get some crowds, but yeah, overall, it's just like, what is Ole Miss? Can they show us what they were in June? Can we get that back? And, you know, of course, that comes down to the players and the roster and the makeup. You know, every team's different. But you're seeing some of the bats come alive with Jackson Ross, Andrew Fisher, even some returners, and Ethan Leger and Ethan Groff kind of finding themselves. So the spark is getting there again. And really, I think the most impressive win to kind of get fans excited was really Tuesday down at ULM. They were down 2-0. Just, they've always kind of played sluggish in that midweek spring break game, just how it's been in recent years. But they tie it and then come back and get wins, two runs late to win 5-3. And everybody kind of felt like, all right, that showed us something, that we've got something here. We didn't really see that fight in them late in games last year. It didn't feel like the dugout was, the locker room was cohesive. So that gives a little bit of a spark. But like, you know, like we've been saying, they've got to show it now. And South Carolina this weekend, then at Tennessee next weekend. These six games are really going to be the measuring stick.
Well, Jake, I think, you know, Ole Miss is in the same place as South Carolina, really the same place as any team in the SEC, in that you go up and down the schedule and you say, oh, here's a big test. Here's a top five team. Here's a top 10 team. I mean, it's just littered up and down. And so South Carolina has some similar challenges. I thought you made a great point, you know, and it's the same thing here. This is a measuring stick contest for both of these teams, that neither of them have gotten into SEC play, so we're going to learn a lot more about these teams. What do you think that we don't quite know yet about Ole Miss that may be revealed against South Carolina?
I think it goes back to the pitching for Ole Miss. Can these young guys, or, you know, second-year guys, Grayson Saunier, and that have that trial by fire really last year because of pitching injuries and just how others did not perform. He kind of got thrusted into that weekend rotation against, you know, top SEC competition and struggled. But, you know, he's looked better these past 2 weeks. Now, obviously, it's a step up from the Iowas and the Morehead States to heading into this weekend and beyond. But I think that's really going to be the question, is can these young guys paired with a Gunnar Dennis, who's a JUCO transfer out of Meridian Community College, and a Coastal Carolina guy that maybe y'all's fans or y'all are familiar with, and Liam Doyle, who came over and he's getting his first taste of SEC play as the Saturday starter this weekend. So there's a lot of new faces and a lot of unprovenness still, even with returners from last year. So it's all, I think right now, the proving mark has to start with the pitching. The bullpen's been fantastic. Now, obviously, their competition steps up as well, but it's the opening guys that have got to show that they can stretch it out. Now, we've gotten some 5- and 6-inning outings over the past couple weeks, but those first couple weeks, they could barely get out of the fourth inning, you know, that second time through the order. So that's where I think the show me is with the fans and within the team itself, is can we get the arms going again like we, you know, Bianco has always had traditionally in SEC play.
Jake, if we can step away from baseball here for a second, there's some other interesting things going on at Ole Miss. Interestingly enough, obviously South Carolina is about to extend Lamont Paris. That'll be official tomorrow. Reportedly Ole Miss extending Chris Beard this week as well. What were your thoughts on that news and the timing of it? And also, we haven't seen, at least reported, any actual numbers on that. Have y'all been able to determine any specifics on how long or maybe how big this contract is for Chris Beard?
I know it was reported that it was a 6-year deal, but you know, we haven't gotten any of the terms. We usually can get that about a week or so after they announce, hey, they've been extended or they've got a new contract. But you know, similar to Kiffin, I think they've reworked it to where it's a little bit longer, you know, and however they can manage to make contracts longer in the state of Mississippi. There's a state law of no more than 4-year max on contracts, but then there's, you know, those other ways to kind of tack onto it with foundations and whatnot. So I think that's what has happened with Beard. So for me, the timing of it was interesting. They hadn't played. They don't play till tonight, again, against Texas A&M in the tournament, which that did not go well for them last Saturday. But I think getting Beard locked in for year two was key, because we saw the Louisville news opening with Kenny Payne, and internally and within the rumor mill, Beard's name was highly attached or considered on the short list, that they would come at least talk to him to fill that spot. And the fact that they, you know, Keith Carter and him put that out there yesterday morning and kind of ended that talk before it started, I think shows a lot. And that, you know, Beard is committed at least for year two to keep building this. And, you know, Saturday after A&M was the first time he's ever really had year two talk or looking to the future. You know, even when we've asked him big picture type questions during the week after practices, he's never really talked about it until Saturday. So it felt like he was here, and then they showed it. And, you know, he did tremendous work. 20 games, first 21 seasons, in about, you know, since the 18-19 season, and, you know, improved the SEC mark last year. And so there were signs, but he's got a lot of work to do, kind of roster building. And he's kind of got to take another swing in the portal, because the 2 7-footers he brought in, and Cisse and Sharp just didn't cut it. And once they got into SEC play, so, you know, they know what they kind of got to look for. But, you know, again, he was telling us yesterday, still focused on tonight and March, and they know what they got to do to get in the tournament. They basically got to be cutting the nets down Sunday afternoon, and they're aware of that, so they're focusing on one game at a time.
Jake, great stuff, man. We appreciate you making the time. I know there's not a lot going on there right now, so we appreciate you making it happen, and enjoy the game later on today for basketball, and hopefully we can talk to you at a later date too, okay, man?
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, again, yeah, that is Jake Thompson, Ole Miss. Go check out omspirit.com, Ole Miss On 3 site. We got one more segment here. We're going to be joined by our good friend Larry Chandler. He's going to talk a little bit about what he's seen from South Carolina men's basketball, women's basketball, and beyond. Again, we are live here, Firehouse Subs, USC. Come by and see us. We got some free shirts. We'll be right back. 107.5 in Columbia, 100.5 in Florence, and 100.3 in Myrtle Beach. All right, welcome back in. We are live from Firehouse Subs right here on the USC campus. On for one more segment. Come by and see us. Even if you miss us, come by and get a delicious sub. Larry Chandler in the house hanging out with us. Larry, it's been a big weekend for Gamecock sports, man. Women win another tournament title. We got some Lamont Paris news earlier today. The boys obviously starting at about 3:30 this afternoon. Spring football practice starting next week, man. How you feeling? Are you in the mode for some sports?
Oh, definitely. Last weekend was fun. We went up to for the games in Greenville. A little exciting there. Wasn't expecting either day to turn out the way it did, except for us winning, of course. But so that, and then, of course, excited about to see what the men's going to do starting today. So.
Yeah, again, we're live here, Firehouse Subs, 107.5 in Columbia, 100.5 in Florence, and 100.3 in Myrtle Beach. Let's start with the women. And obviously, nationally, people have been talking about other things from this weekend that happened at the tournament. But how about the buzzer beater, man? What were you thinking? Like, South Carolina – so I'll be honest, my parents were in town. We went out to dinner. I was sort of half watching the game. Yeah. I was like, oh, South Carolina's in control. I don't really have to be watching this. And then I kept checking. It got tighter and tighter and tighter. Yeah. And then I was like, they're about to lose. And they found a way to win.
Well, we were standing there in the arena, and I was trying to reconcile the fact that we might lose a game. Okay, we lose, it might be good for us. And, you know, trying to do all that. And then when she, the young lady, she missed the two free throws. And I thought, well, it's still only 3 seconds. And they fouled full volley. And then I'm still trying to reconcile 1.1 seconds, what's going to happen. And then that was the last thing I thought would happen. And I'd never the arena just – I mean, it was so loud. And then my wife was worried about – I almost choked her, like, you know, like hugged her so tight. She was, like, scared her. So she said she didn't think she'd ever see me that excited. So, but it was really exciting game. Tennessee just fought back. They're really good. To me, they have the player of the year – Jackson, mm-hmm. in my opinion, but that nobody asked me my vote on that. But
well, Dawn agrees with you, though. I mean, she's called her the number one pick probably 100%. In the draft. I mean,
she's absolutely amazing. She's so calm and just a great player. But we got a lot of great players, and you know, we found a way to win, and then went in on Sunday. So, and excited about, you know, the men. I think got to get through today. It's not gonna be easy. Arkansas is playing really good basketball, and then they got a great player, and then I'd like to see us get through there and get maybe revenge tomorrow against Auburn. So,
what now? Obviously, the big news of the morning, since you went with the men, Lamont Paris, his team will be fully focused on playing Arkansas this afternoon. But big news coming out that his extension looks done, going to be approved tomorrow morning. Expected to be approved by the Board of Trustees about 9 a.m. here in Columbia. Thoughts on Lamont Paris, you know, earning an extension after the work he's done in year two?
Yeah, I think he's proved him and his staff that, you know, they are this is a great place to come play basketball. I think his coaching style meets a lot of kids' probably wants and needs, and they play so well as a team. And if I was a player out there looking at maybe somewhere to transfer or out of high school will come, I would love to play for him. I mean, quite frankly, and his staff. I mean, I think they got a good plan and what they want to do. And, you know, to make a run in a tournament, you got to have a team that plays really good defense and plays well together. And I think we got a chance. See, but really excited about it. I think well-deserved, and we need that. So,
What have you seen just being, a guy here in Columbia, a guy that follows all the Carolina sports, the excitement level just around both teams? You know, they'll officially be in the tournament once we have selection Sunday, but – man, the buzz about basketball has been so cool to see in this area.
I mean, you can't beat it. I mean, being at an arena, and just sold out, the crowd is, you know, crazy for both men and women. It's so exciting to see it. So much fun, and, this just shows that everybody wants to support all sports here, but, you know, basketball is very special here, and I think it just shows that we can, you know, what we can do here, so.
Larry, man, as always, appreciate you having us out.
Well, thank y'all. I mean, appreciate y'all so much. It's a great, great partnership. And don't forget, make sure everybody orders some good platters and food for watching basketball. So we got a lot of catering. Glad to take everybody's order. Just go to firehousesubs.com.
I was going to say, you can do the rapid rescue for your own sub on firehousesubs.com, but y'all do have the catering link on there as well. So if you're having a basketball watch party, that's a great way to take care of all the food at once.
100%. We'll make it easy as possible for everyone, and just go to firehousesubs.com and place your order.
Larry, what are you having for lunch today?
I'm going to have a brisket with bacon. That's yours, man.
Yes.
My go-to. As always, Larry, we appreciate you. Appreciate Everybody that joined us on the show earlier today, Chris, we're going to go watch some basketball.
Yes.
And we'll be back tomorrow. Regular show tomorrow,
regular
11
show.
To 12. Tyler, of course, will have his full 9 to noon. But, yeah, it's been 107.5 The Game here in Columbia, 100.5 in Florence, 100.3 in Myrtle Beach, also on the 107.5 The Game app and streaming on the Game TV. We have been live here at Firehouse Subs. Even though we're going to leave, you can still come out and get you a great lunch, firehousesubs.com, or just go ahead and order it on the Firehouse Subs app. Chris and I will see you tomorrow. Y'all have a good one.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.